Once there was a young rat named Arthur, never make up his mind.
So welcome again to Made in the UK, episode 123, and we have not one, not two, but three, but four hosts of the show today. From Yorkshire, we have Dave and Caroline Lee.
Hello. We do have a Caroline as well, but she's busy making drinks.
Oh, was she? Okay. is that what she's doing? She was doing something else a bit naughty there, but...
Elisa,
but that the better, yeah.
At least she isn't writing on... vibrators.
I beg your pardon.
More about that later. More about that.
Yes.
Slowly. Get, you know. Good man. We've 2 minutes in and we're already plumbing the depths. Well, as you can tell, also on the call down in Bath is Mr. Colin Gaisley. Hello, Colin.
Hello.
And Colin and I were only together just yesterday in London, seeing Mr. Irk. He's coming up to Yorkshire next weekend, isn't he?
Yes, I believe he's going to be staying at Casa Bugcast.
He will be joining us live on our next episode.
Well, you can ask him about writing on vibrators then, because it's probably best if we don't talk about it.
Yes, I would like to know about this extra.
What happens on Earth Crawl stays on Earth Crawl.
Yes.
Why don't we do that on the normal pod crawls? I want to know.
It's entirely up to you. If you and Jim go off and do that next time, Caroline.
It just depends whether you buy a vibrator on the next pod crawl or not, or bring one with you for all I care.
Yeah, and Jamie's already got one now. Oh, sorry, Jamie's friend's got one.
I'm buying it for my friend. Yes.
If you want to know what the hell we're talking about, then I recorded the whole thing for my next show, which will be released. Well, which actually, when this was released, it was released yesterday. So.
What a fantastic lead-in, Colin. That's something to be
proud of. Wonderful. Right. Shall we have some music? Colin, tell us what your first track is, mate.
Yeah, okay. And since we're talking about my last show, i.e. the one that I recorded on Earth Crawl, and the one that, as this was released yesterday, I'm going to play a track that I played on that episode. This is Reverbed with their track Burn.
We'll be right back.
So that was Reverbed, who come from Doncaster in Yorkshire, and they're actually a bunch of teenagers, and they have just released an album which is rather good. They have released EPs and things in the past. Their album is called Lies You Can Believe, and that track Burn comes off it.
I rather enjoyed that. What did you think, guys?
That was good.
That was very impressive. Really, we'll really nice heavy melodic rock.
Seek them out as well.
Yeah, we really should be quite embarrassed because, you know, we live in Doncaster and we have not yet played these guys, and yet I've heard you play them at least 3 times on the Rubberous podcast in the past, Colin.
Yeah, I think this will be the 4th time I've played them, yeah.
Aren't these the guys that you're normally quite jealous of?
They're in their early teens,
aren't they?
Well, I think they might be coming out of their teens by now,
right.
But they are certainly very young. I mean, I think it just so happened that the first time I played them, I also had other teenagers on the show, so it kind of made me feel old and decrepit and all that kind of stuff.
I remember the shows well, but no, yeah. that was a really good track. Really like that.
Mm. Aren't the policemen old as well? You're young as well.
No, I got that off a PR company called Black Label PR, and they also sent me the other track that I'm going to play, so I will send the info along.
Brilliant.
And we've got 3 tracks from up north. Is Burnley in Yorkshire, or is that Lancashire? I can't remember now.
No, it's Lancashire.
Is that Lancashire? Okay, so we've got two tracks from Yorkshire and 1 track from Lancashire in this 6-track podcast, which is not bad going. Sometimes we end up with an awful lot of them from London, don't we? All right, then, Dave.
It does tend to go that way sometimes.
Dave and Caroline, tell us what your first track is then, mate.
Right, our first track is Karma Fish with Heaven Below from Eastern England. It's an alias of a UK singer-songwriter and producer, but there's no name given at the moment. Ooh. Focused on alternative rock, but indulging a bit of electronic and classical as well. Solo project with occasional guest musicians, described as a one-man band with a guitar, bass, mic and drum machine.
Out of reach. sacrifice red, all into grace. After tending the dead, gouge out eyes, but the damage is done. Heaven below and hell above, and nobody knows that this is the end.
Was Karma Fish with Heaven Below. We sourced it from Jamendo and we played it on our show this week.
It's Friday.
Show 173. And you can find that more by going to myspace.com/KarmaFishMusic.
Do you know exactly where in the Eastern England they're from then?
What? We searched everywhere on as many websites as we could find. One of them, I think MySpace said East.
Right.
And I got Eastern England from another locator. I can't remember where it was, but
and everywhere says it's an alias, but it doesn't actually say who he is. So I think intentionally mysterious.
Being mysterious, which is one of the things about the modern music industry is if artists choose to do that, it's very easy for them to do that. So if he chooses to be mysterious, then fair play to him, I guess.
I believe so. Yeah, it just makes it a lot more difficult to, you know, to give attribution to the to these
people. Yeah, that's true.
They don't give out as much information as we would like to give about them. I know that some podcasters use the line that if they don't have sufficient bio, they won't get play. Which I kind of get.
Irk does that.
Irk certainly does that. And Caroline certainly moaned at me in the past where I put shows on, tracks on the show, that there's absolutely no information that could be found anywhere on the internet about
it. You did
them.
That this week.
I think you can shorten that sentence and just say Caroline just moans at you, doesn't she?
I tell you what, you can laugh, you can hide, you can, you know, hide behind the anonymity of your microphone, but it is absolutely true.
Sorry, I just couldn't. It was a cheap shot, but I couldn't resist it. It was just, you know, it was up in the air and boom, slam dunk.
And right on the mark.
I'm not sure what to make of that track. It reminds me a bit of Aqualung. About 5 or 6 years ago, it was a track, Strange and Beautiful. I think it was used on a car ad. And it had that same kind of very slow, very kind of measured approach. And it did kind of remind me of that. So at one at the same time, it's kind of beautiful. But I really feel it should go somewhere, and I don't really think it does. So I'm a bit... got a bit mixed feelings about
now you're
that
describing
track.
It, I actually want to see the picture. I want to see a picture of a car ad or something. And I can now see it accompanying something. But when I was listening to it, I was thinking, not sure about that one. Mm. But there you go. Shall we have mine? Let's have mine then.
Yeah.
So my first track is another one from York. This is one of the many artists I occasionally find over at Strummerville, which I keep going back to because I think they're a fantastic charity and they've got lots of great music. This is a band I've never heard of until a couple of weeks ago. They're called Little Moes and the track's called Larry.
Machines. Every 50p he seemed to All he wants to do is lay beside her, but she knows that's what all men say. And bitching, he sold his soul just to say that kitchen, darling. He'll only do that price for today. He left his school at just 16 with a packet of fags and a pocket full of dreams, both burnt out until today.
When you first announced that, I swear you said little balls.
Little what? Little balls?
Little balls.
Little balls. Yeah. Little balls. That could be you and me, mate. Oh, dear. Oh, dar. Right, that was Larry by the Little Balls. I love that. I love the way that sort of, you know, they get sort of a 20-pack of cigs and the M1 into the lyrics. What do you guys think of it?
It sounded very northern, didn't it?
Yes. I like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the problems I have with it. I think there's an increasing fad or fashion for bands to sing with really, really recognisable regional accents. And while on the one hand that's good and it shows that you don't have to use received pronunciation anymore in music, at the same time, I'm never 100% sure how put on the accent is and how, if they're trying to make a point with singing with their own sort of very regional accents. But the music, I actually really liked, but I'm a little wary about the accent.
Just to be really awkward, I both agree and disagree with you at the same time. Now, I'm a great fan. Shut up, Codger. I'm a great fan of artists that use their own accents in their music, particularly Scottish accents. If you look at groups like We Were Promised Jackpacks,
they really
use the Scottish accent in their music. They make no attempts to hide it whatsoever. And yet, and this is where I agree with you. We played a track probably a couple of years ago by a group called Men Who Listen. It was given to us by a publicity company. And it started really promisingly. The music was fantastic, and it was really rocking. It had a really nice hit to it. And then just as the intro finished, it kind of broke down to a drummer and a guitar and this really northern accent, and it really sounded quite weak and awful, to be quite honest with you. So in some places it really works, and yet in others it just doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing against having regional accents in music, but I mean, my point is, I just worry and wonder how put on it is. I mean, how much are they trying to make a point by doing?
So you reckon they go up to the back room and say, "Oh, what do you think of that show? Jolly good, huh?"
I'm not saying that's what happens, but I do worry that is a possibility.
Yeah, you can never tell, can you? You can never can tell. All right, let's have another track from you then, Dave and Caroline.
Okay, now. We've done a bit of an MIUK hack on this one.
Because, I know you have. I know you have.
Yeah, it's a big risk, but it qualifies. This is a collaboration by the name of Cwtch, which, for those that don't know, is a Welsh word meaning cuddle. And it's made up of two people, Paul Foster, otherwise known as Demento 13, who is based in Wales, and Marie Craven, who is based in Australia. Now, you're staring. Why are you staring at me? Are you going to jump in to correct me?
No.
Marie Craven does the vocals on this track you're about to hear, and we first heard her vocals on another collaboration that she did with somebody called Max Waves, yeah. And I just think her vocals are absolutely beautiful.
Isn't she Pixie Guts?
She is Pixie
she
Guts.
Is,
yes, she's
yes. Yeah, okay,
she's
yeah.
Pixie Guts. She also has her own podcast with Dave. Probably his surname.
Void.
Called the Pixie Cast, and yeah, she's got the most amazing voice, and combining that with Paul Foster's music and production style, it comes out really well. So yeah, this is Cwtch with Olive Walls.
We'll be right back.
So yeah, that was Kutch with Olive Walls. You can find out more about them at kutch.bandcamp.com. You're spelling that CWTCH.bandcamp.com. If you're interested, the lyrics of the track are actually taken from a poem called Home Brief Home by Lynn DeSilva Johnson. What did you reckon to that?
I was interesting. I mean, when you were talking about Pixie Cuts a bit earlier on, I remember it was probably about a year and a half ago now, I think, Gabor did an interview with Pixie Cuts and I did an interview with Void about a week apart from each other. And it was very interesting listening to the conversations, because the way in which I think Pixie Cuts works is she gets the music from whoever she's working with, in this case, 20 or 13, and then she sort of improvises some stuff, sends it back over the net, and it gets a bit changed. And it sounded very very interesting, but probably very annoying process in some ways, I imagine, because you'd have to keep sending the track and listening to it, and then revising your feedback, and then sending your response, as it were, your call response, which is kind of difficult across sort of 10,000 miles, which is generally what she's doing it from.
But I don't believe she actually collaborates with anybody in Australia.
No, I don't think she does either. No, I think she's right. It's everybody's remote. I don't know. What does that say about Marie? Is she not like Australians? I don't know. Or just there's not that many of them nearby. I don't know. It was nice, though. I liked it.
Yeah, and that's another thing about the modern music industry, is that this kind of collaboration is possible. I mean, from people who can theoretically collaborate and create great music and never meet in person. And yeah, I did like that. It's nice and relaxing, you know, a nice bit of ambient trip hoppy kind of stuff. Yeah. I do quite like that.
All right, well, let's move over to Burnley then, which is in Lancashire. And what's your next track, Colin?
Yeah, my next track is a solo artist who goes by the name Kafka. He's just released an album called Mysterious Skin, and this is the first single off it. And it's called Maybe Later.
Once, when he was a child, he stopped and wondered why he always has to steal, he always has to lie. Still he says, that's my way. When I come back, I'll show you someday.
No.
So yeah, that was Kafka with Maybe Later. And yeah, it's a weird situation. I mean, I got that track a few weeks ago from the Black Label PR company. And like I said, it is the first single off his album Mysterious Skin. And then, well, it was last week, I think it was, I noticed that he'd also been distributing his music through Ariel PR in New York.
Yeah.
So I know that Dave and Caroline have played him recently with some tracks from Ariel. Yeah.
So is Black Label a Northern UK promotional company then, hasn't it?
They appear to be. I mean, the majority of the music they've sent me does seem to come from the North, but I'm honestly not sure where they're based, because I just, out of the blue one day, got an email from them and they've been sending me music. So, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Don't knock it.
Yeah, no.
No, it's good. I'd actually like to see him live, actually. I think he said it's a he, but he's obviously got a band for the recording. Yeah. So I would like to see him do something live. I think it's probably a good name to keep an eye on, actually.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I can't help seeing the word Kafka without thinking of small insects that's lying on their back.
Yeah.
But you know, bit of a literary reference there for those that haven't been.
Yeah, I'm afraid that went straight over our heads.
Hey,
I had to study Kafka at university. It was not pleasant. But yeah, I do like that.
Good.
Yeah, that was a good track. Slightly quirky in a way, the actual vocal delivery.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was very solid, very good.
The video is weird. It's kind of a live performance where he sort of drapes himself in fairy lights. It's odd.
Well, I would expect it to be weird with a name like Kafka. For God's sake, man! I mean,
should be.
I don't mind. Doesn't mind getting involved with that. But yeah, interesting.
I was just going to say, Colin does tend to draw himself to tracks that have really weird videos to go with them.
I mean, it's sort of like a chicken and egg thing. I mean, because sometimes I'll find a really good video and play the track because of it, and sometimes I'm attracted to an odd bit of music and then later discover it's got an odd video, which was the case with Kafka. I mean, I got the MP3 from Black Label and said, "You're right, yeah, that's good, I'll play it," and then found the video. So it's
interesting you say that, because I never look at videos when I'm choosing music, but then again, I don't put together a video podcast.
That's the thing. I've always watched videos. I mean, my primary way of consuming music, even before I became a podcaster, was watching music channels on television. I mean, MTV, when it still played music. I mean, MTV2, when it was still an indie channel and not a hard rock channel.
And the music video.
Yeah, Kerrang TV.
Yeah. Rather than just gratuitous.
Yeah, I mean, so that's always been one of my primary ways of consuming music, and that's really why I started doing WMVP, is because that's always something that's appealed to me, is watching music videos. And I wanted to share the good ones I find with as many people as possible. So that's why I started WMVP.
And how many of them have you done now?
The last one released was 77, I think.
Blimey.
It has been on a bit of a hiatus recently, but it will be coming back very shortly with a slightly updated format and a bit better production process. So it will be back stronger and better than ever very shortly. In fact, since I don't have to record a podcast next Saturday, I'm probably going to be able to do about 4 or 5 WMVPs this week for the next month or so of shows. So, yeah.
Good. All right, well, let's have that last track, another one of mine. You were on, Dave and Caroline, on about it being a bit naughty and taking a track that was sort of partly UK and partly Australian. I think the same is probably true with this one, because I'm fairly sure this track was possibly recorded in Canada. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. This is by Prince Blanco, and the two tracks I've played are both related, because Little Moors are a band that are sort of publicising their wares through, as I said, the charity Strummerville. And Prince Blanco was the guy that put on a benefit gig and a benefit album a couple of years ago called Shout Out the Hotel, which was a reworking in dub of Clash songs. He put that on and bought various different people, which one was a guy called Dubmatics, who's a favourite reggae artist of mine who's based in Canada. And Dubmatics is the guy playing the music behind this with Prince Blanco singing. This is Unity on the Hi-Fi. Prince Blanco, Unity on the Hi-Fi, which I think is the title of his album. You can find him at myspace.com/Prince Blanco. Not quite sure whether it's recorded in London or Canada, but I love it. Colin, reggae.
Yeah, I mean, as everybody who listens to this show probably knows, I am really, really not a fan of reggae. Because as far as I'm concerned, 99% of it sounds exactly the same. Uses exactly the same techniques, exactly the same tempo, exactly the same kind of vocal style. And that just isn't interesting to me. But having said that, I do actually quite like that track. I mean, it's got something about it. I mean, maybe it is the Clash influence of it. I mean, obviously the Clash were a band who were influenced by reggae, but I don't think in any way you could call them a reggae band. But they were influenced by the reggae that they were hearing, and it's kind of feeding back into this actual reggae track and creating something interesting, and I do actually quite like that track. So there, proving you wrong.
Amazing.
You proving me wrong.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Mr. Lee and Mrs. Lee, you said you were bouncing.
That was fun.
Yeah, we liked that one.
It was really, really good. Colin kind of beat me to it. I mean, it's all very well saying, you know, whether you like reggae or don't like reggae, I don't see how anybody could have not at least been tapping their feet to that one. Because it just had all the positivity around it. I mean, I agree with Colin. As far as the reggae sound is concerned, it can be a very samey genre. The style, the fact that everything's on the offbeat, and it can sometimes be drab and very samey. But that one,
I'm going to have to shoot all of you now. I'm going to shoot you all. You can't. For a man who likes me dub, I can't have all that. You know, I'm going to edit you all out now. I'm just going to edit it all out and make it sound like you loved all that.
I did. I definitely liked it.
I know what you mean. I mean, I think in defense of reggae, what I would say is that the only thing about reggae is the fact it's on the third and first and third beat instead of the second and the fourth beat. That's the only thing about it. But apart from that, I mean, it does tend to sort of go tend to a, you know, roots Rastafari type thing. Why did I say that in a Yorkshire accent? I don't know. hang on, what should I do? Let's see. Wait and see. Roots Rastafari. There we go. No, so you've got to have the echo button in there somewhere. Colin? What, Colin?
I mean, Pete, you say that reggae's only difference using the first and third beat. And while that's true, you can still have music which features emphasis on the first and the third beat and have it sound different to the next track. And I think that's something that reggae fails in the vast majority of the time.
Do you want to stop there? I think we've lost the podcast. Hang on.
No, we're still here.
Oh, you're still there? Oh, yeah, okay.
No, we were just listening to YouTube bantering. That's fine.
Oh, that's all right. I thought the volume had gone. I thought, oh, it's all changed. We've lost them.
No,
gone.
I was getting ready to come in and actually poo-poo Colin's argument, to be honest with you. But carry on. Carry on. Carry on. And I will come in at the appropriate moment.
So, yeah, it's...
Took your wind out of your sails, didn't it?
So yeah, I mean, it's all well and good saying that that's the only difference, but I still think you can have diversity and variety using that template of first and third beat, and I just don't believe that reggae succeeds in being different from the next reggae track, or different enough from the next reggae track.
But maybe that's what, I mean, the Dub Zone is a very good example of that. The Dub Zone is a very successful podcast. It has a very wide and varied following. So, yeah, I think it's subjective. I really do, that some people don't like it because it's very samey, and yet other people like it because it's very samey and because it's a consistent approach to the production of that particular style of music.
Yeah, well, all right. In my argument, I would exclude dub from my argument because I agree dub is very wide and varied and does have a lot more influences coming into it.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Actually, that's very interesting. Let me just come in there because I do find that the reason I don't play roots reggae type tracks like this very often is I do find the roots reggae ones do tend to sort of be a bit samey, but I do find difference in the dub. Now, I would happily listen to somebody that would argue the exact opposite because I'm sure everyone's got a different ear and a different place. But it's interesting you should say that because I didn't think you would.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I definitely exclude dub from my argument. I mean, dub is not one of my favourite genres, but I have played tracks which you could classify as dub. I have played tracks which you could classify as dubstep. But that's because, although it is firmly rooted in the reggae tradition, it does have lots of more influences from the electronica genres, from the dance genres. You know, there is a different way of working, and it is definitely the roots reggae kind of stuff that I don't like and think sounds exactly the same. And I definitely would exclude dub from my argument.
That just kind of blew my argument away then, didn't it?
Oh, well, never mind. Oh, well, anyway, thanks for coming, guys. I know you broadcasters need to go off and eat, because presumably your children are now...
I think we've past eating now.
I think it's bedtime now.
Well, I mean, normally you eat during a podcast, so, I mean, you've been eating during this one, haven't you?
Well, no, I just had an Indian takeaway before I started recording, so I'm fine.
Oh, that's nice.
That's not fair.
You want an Indian there, don't you? Yeah, you really want one.
Well, I was going to do some nice halloumi cheese and vegetable.
No, you won't.
It's 10:30 on a Sunday night. It's bedtime.
It's a bedtime.
I've got to get the kids to my mum's before 8 to get a bus to go to a training course.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Right, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, guys. I do appreciate it. We've had some tracks from Eastern England, from Cardiff, from Burnley, from Doncaster, from London, and from York.
And from Australia,
and possibly a bit of Canada as well, and Wales. Yeah. And also, yeah, well, I said Cardiff. That is in Wales.
Oh, you did say Cardiff.
Yeah. Not the way I said Cardiff. You see. Nice to see you. Nice to talk to you. Have fun with Irk next week. We'll probably, you know, it'll be publicised and recorded and all that sort of stuff.
You will be hearing it on the next episode of the podcast.
I just don't know if Irk's prepared for our kids.
Well, he was all right with us, so I can imagine he can handle it.
Oh, he'll be fine with it. If he can cope with the attendance of Podcrawl, the Irk crawl, then
I reckon he'll have your kids interviewed on Irk FM before you know it, mate.
Oh, we're kind of expecting that.
Good.
Every photograph I've seen from Irk crawl has got him with his recorder in his hand.
Yes. Yeah, but the camera does lie, because the pictures of him holding a beer were a beer he borrowed, because the only beer he did hold of, he had two sips of and went, didn't like.
No, that's not actually true.
Isn't it?
After you left, we found a pub that served Adnams,
and he liked it.
No, he did have a drink, so he can honestly say that he had more Adnams than you did yesterday.
Oh, bastard.
What does he drink then?
Southern Comfort. I mean, bloody hell.
Jack Daniels in the house.
No, Jack Daniels and Southern Comfort are not the same.
Never mind. All right. Thanks very much for your time, guys. I appreciate it. I hope the listeners enjoyed our witty banter, if that's what you can call it. And until Maiden UK 124, which is... Who's on 124? Do we know?
We are.
You are.
Caroline and I hosting it.
Oh, God, you again.
Yep. With...
Sorry, people.
Nick Tan and someone else. I think it's Graham Holland, actually.
Graham. I don't think our Graham likes to do Skype.
Oh, well, Nick Tan actually sent his submission for the show about 3 months ago. So.
So you won't be Skyping then.
He won't be a Skype one,
no. So lucky listeners, you know, they'll put up with all this again.
Until the next time.
Until the next time. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Farted
and then
legged it.
Could you have been any more obvious?
Oh, don't do that. Nom nom nom. I've got a strong urge to bang my head with a book now.